Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ask the Pastor. And let's get right to it. We have four questions for today. Now, one question is a follow-up from last week, and it has to deal with that Isaiah 7 passage. If you'll recall, last week someone asked about Isaiah 7:14, and their question was, is this referring to Christ, or is it referring to John the Baptist? Well, of course, I said it's referring to Christ, because in 7:14, it talks about one born of a virgin. He'll be called Emmanuel. And that was the question that they had asked about. Well, this week, they want to add verse 15 into that. I guess their question is still the same. Is this talking about Jesus or John the Baptist? Well, the context is of course, talking about the Messiah. It's a messianic passage. Well, John the Baptist is not the Messiah. He came as a forerunner to the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But let's go ahead and look at those two verses again, and I'll deal with them once more. But Isaiah 7, verse 14 and verse 15 this time. Therefore, the Lord himself will give a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, and when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose good. Okay, so the person says, well, this sounds like it could be referring to John the Baptist. Maybe they think verse 14 is referring to Jesus and verse 15 is referring to John the Baptist. Well, no, this is a messianic passage. It refers to Jesus. So clearly, Jesus is the one born of a virgin. Jesus is the one called Emmanuel. We clearly see that in the New Testament. Perhaps your confusion is verse 15, where it says, he shall eat curds and honey. I know you're thinking, well, that was stated of John the Baptist, not necessarily curds, but he would eat locust and wild honey. Well, you got to realize that curds and honey, that was the food of those who were in exile. So it's Jesus, when it says that the Messiah would eat curds and honey, it means that he would come and identify with those who are in exile. He would come and deliver those who are in exile. And that's the reason that John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. Once again, identifying with those who are in exile. But this passage is not about John the Baptist. It's a messianic prophecy about Jesus. And it says that he would eat curds and honey when he knows how to choose evil, or when he knows how to refuse evil and choose good. I think a lot of people stumble on wanting to say that this passage is about Jesus because it says that he'll learn how to refuse evil, or when he knows how to refuse evil and choose good. So everybody would think, well, Jesus knows how to refuse evil. He knows how to choose good. I mean, he's God. And that's right. But you'll recall that Jesus was also fully man. And in his humanity, Jesus still had to obey God. He still had to refuse evil and choose good. So once again, this is a messianic prophecy which Jesus fulfilled at the incarnation and through his earthly ministry. Okay, so passage about Jesus. All right, moving on to our second question for today. And I've got two lengthy questions. This is the first of the two lengthy ones. So I'm just going to summarize instead of reading it all to you. This person, makes a statement and says, well, in Acts chapter at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, the council basically decided that the Gentiles did not have to be circumcised in order to become followers or to be Christians. They did not have to be circumcised. So the Jerusalem Council decided that, and that is correct. In order for the Gentiles to be Christians, they did not have to be circumcised. However, in Acts chapter 16, Paul determined that it was necessary to circumcise Timothy before taking him to visit the Jews. So, again, I understand your question. If circumcision wasn't necessary, then why did Paul circumcise Timothy? For the simple reason that Paul thought it would be best, and so did Timothy, that it would be best in order not to be a stumbling block to the Jews. Okay? Their main goal was for the Jews to hear the gospel. And so Paul had Timothy circumcised. Timothy chose to be circumcised in order not to be a stumbling block to the Jews, because the greater purpose was to get the gospel to them, and primarily to the Gentiles. So let me make sure I answered your question. You said here, I thought maybe it had something to do with Timothy having a Greek father and a Jewish mother, but I can't determine why that would be important. Then I thought maybe because it's Timothy's maternal Jewish heritage, and thought it was important for the Jews to accept him. But I don't think this is the reason, because chastised Peter for doing the same. Yeah, it's the whole stumbling block issue. You know what I mean? If there's something in your life, even though it's not a sin, but it would keep somebody from hearing the gospel, then it's better just to remove that thing out of your life in order to provide an open door for them to hear the gospel. Okay? I hope that answers your question. It's the whole stumbling block issue. All right? Now, the third question I have for today is 1 Samuel 16. And again, it's a lengthy question, so I'm going to do my best to summarize. In 1 Samuel 16, let me just tell you the story. This is when God takes the anointing away from Saul. He takes his spirit away from Saul. Let me get there and make sure I'm not missing anything. 1 Samuel 16. Let me just read it. It says, now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now that's important. 16 verse 14, 1 Samuel. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. So Samuel's being tormented, okay, by this spirit that sovereign God has sent for his own divine purposes. And the Holy Spirit has been taken away from Saul. And so in order for Saul to have any kind of relief, they would bring David in. And it says here, David would be brought in, and he would play. Verse 16, let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. And so verse 22, and Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. So it says there, the key here is that David would be brought in to play the lyre. And when David would play it, it would help Saul's spirit to be calm. Now, here's a key verse. It says, and let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. Okay? So the Bible clearly says that Saul says to David's father, Jesse, let David stay in my service. In other words, let him serve me. Let him be here with me. Let him stay in my service, because he has found favor in my sight. Okay, so obviously, in chapter 16, the impression is that Saul knows who David is. Okay, but then we move into chapter 17, and we have the whole historical account of David versus Goliath. Now, you'll recall that, let me just read it to you. David goes out, he tries to put on Saul's armor, it doesn't fit, And so David goes out with his shepherd boy wardrobe with a slingshot and six stones, and he goes out to fight Goliath, and he spins the stone in the slingshot, and you know the story. He kills Goliath. Now, it says here that so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. Okay? He eventually cuts off Goliath's head. Now, this is what it says in verse 55. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son this boy is." And as soon as David turned from striking down the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Now, which is it? Chapter 16, it says that Saul asked Jesse for David to stay in his service because he had found favor in his sight. But then in chapter 17, David is getting ready to go out and fight Goliath, and Saul asks Abner, his servant, "Who is that? Who is that young man? Who is he? You know, where is he from? Who's his parents?" So in chapter 16, he knows him, but in chapter 17, the impression is that he doesn't know him. Now, there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, it could be just a chronological issue. The Bible is not written in chronological order. You got to remember that. This is a mistake that so many people make in Bible interpretation, is they think that the Bible is written in chronological order. It's not. It's not. Let me say it again. The Bible is not written in chronological order. And so it's primarily not a book of history. It's a book of theology. Okay, and so the chapters are and the stories are placed where they are for theological purposes, not necessarily for historical accuracy or historical chronologically. I think that's a word. All right, we'll go with it. So it could just be that this is just a, you know, chronological issue, and it's not meant to be read in chronological order. But let's go ahead and say that it is in chronological order. Why would chapter 16 give off the impression that he knows who David is, and then chapter 17 is the impression he doesn't know who David is? Well, I want to give you two possible answers. One possible answer is in chapter 16, he knows who David is, but then David goes out and he's getting to fight Goliath, and Saul knows that if this young man goes out and kills this Philistine, then this young man's going to need to be elevated to a place of leadership, and Saul's like, "Now wait a minute, who is this guy? Whose son is he?" And so the emphasis is being placed on the fact that David is about to be elevated. So it tells the story of who David is again to show that he really came from nothing. Or that's one possible answer. Or I believe this could be the right answer. It's for a theological emphasis. If you read chapter 16, the Spirit of the Lord is taken away from Saul. So it only adds to that reality when you realize that he's lost all discernment. The Spirit of the Lord's taken away in chapter 16, and now he's not even able to discern who David is in chapter 17. And so it could be that it's emphasizing just the degradation of Saul's thinking. Okay, he has lost his anointing. He's lost the wisdom of God, to the point that he doesn't even know who David is anymore. And so the theological emphasis could be, the man lacks wisdom apart from the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? I'll give you one more. I said I was going to give you, you know, three, but let me give you four. It could just be that he's an old man and he forgets names. Okay. But I believe that I would probably go with the theological emphasis that without the Spirit of the Lord, you lack discernment, you lack wisdom. And that's being played out in Saul's life. And the fact that in chapter 16, he appears to know who David is, but in chapter 17, he doesn't know. Why? Because his influence is going south. His mind is going south. Okay? So I hope that helps. Moving right along to my next question. And I want to get pastoral with this question. I have a question from somebody. And this person says, and it's worth the read, so let me read it to you. I feel like most of my walk has been begging God to please let me enter through the narrow gate. But his answer is no. You are not one of my chosen. This has caused a lot of anxiety most of my life, as you can imagine. I am a fearful person by nature, as I have been profoundly hearing impaired most of my life. And life in general is a struggle. I look like a Christian should look, but my heart continually struggles with my salvation. Is this the enemy using my emotion? The heart is deceitful, or is this prompting that I am not saved? Okay, listen to me. I appreciate your question. And there's something that I want to clarify for you. You say here in your question that you feel like you've been spending most of your life begging God to save you, and you feel as though God is saying, no, you're not one of my chosen. Let me just clarify that. That is not who God is, okay? If you want to know whether or not you're one of God's chosen, then let me ask you a simple question. Do you want to be saved? I can hear you saying yes. Then you are one of God's chosen. If you want to be saved, if you know you need to be saved, and you've cried out to the Lord to save you, then you are one of his chosen, okay? You never would have called out to him apart from him drawing you and choosing you, okay? So the very fact that you want to be saved, you know you need to be saved, and the fact that you've called out to him to save you is evident of the fact that he has saved you, okay? So this whole idea that you want to be saved, but God says, no, you're not one of my chosen, is really it's an unbiblical idea. So you need to quit thinking that way. It's not biblical. That's not from God, okay? So if you want to be saved, you know you need to be saved, and you've called out to him to save you, then you are one of his chosen. And you need to get busy serving the Lord and stop worrying about, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. You know, the enemy would love nothing more than for you to be in a state of limbo or a state of fear. The Lord wants you to understand your salvation, and he wants you to walk in obedience with him each day. And so my advice to you, not knowing who you are, my advice to you is, just by what I read, it sounds like to me that you do know you need to be saved, and you've asked the Lord to save you. And I believe that when you did, he saved you. And now you just need to get busy moving on serving the Lord. If I can help you in any way, please let me know. God bless everyone. Thank you for all your questions today. Look forward to hearing from you and answering more of your questions next week.